Hey, will you put those scripture up on the? I don't know what we're going to kind of continue. See it, I think, or a couple of weeks. There's a few weeks that we were out of town as well. Was talked about peace last week. James hit on peace. We're going to do about 5 seconds of peace. If you'll hit, I'll just read with you. Look at there. We're going to hit 5 seconds on peace. And then we'll see what happens. Here's my a little bit of experience on peace. When Krista was diagnosed with breast cancer, I don't know how many years ago now. She's gone, so she can't answer that. So anyway, how many? 3 years ago. During that time, this is the passage of scripture that I was in that I was just I was just feeding. It just fed my soul. And this is our experience, right? So I don't, you can find it, and maybe it's true, maybe it's not, but this is what we experienced. Peace came in. He rushed in. Peace has a name, right? It's Jesus. He rushed in. We've felt and experienced something that we didn't even recognize, really. I just remember we were sitting in the office, and Krista was walking out, and I may have shared this story before, but anyway, she was walking out of the office, and it was just good. It was just a peaceful time, and I looked at her and I said, "But Krista, what if this is that peace that goes beyond understanding?" Because it did not make sense. I experienced before I understood it. Does that make sense at all? We experienced a peace that we couldn't explain. But then you go read scripture and it comes to life. It's like, oh yeah. I mean, we experienced it before we even knew that it existed. I don't know if that makes sense to anybody, but that's kind of where we were at that time. Not saying that we didn't have moments of concern and all the things, but it was just this level of peace of, and it wasn't ignoring the problems or ignoring life or anything like that, because that's what some people were telling us. It's like, well, you're just ignoring it. No, we're not ignoring it. It's there, it's real. But it was just a level of peace, and I want to share just a little bit of that. And we won't go into the therefore. If you're a real Bible teacher, and I'm not that guy, you don't start with a therefore, because what is the therefore there for? And the therefore is therefore because prior to this, Abraham, we're justified by faith. It's all by faith, right? So therefore, Abraham was justified by faith. Us being justified by faith, we have what? This is, we all get to contribute. This is just family, right? We're just going to have, I call family meetings at our house a pretty good bit. So this is what we're having here is a family meeting. So this is group participation, all the things. So because Abraham was justified by faith, therefore us being justified by what? Faith. It's kind of like Nick, and we've already talked about connecting. You cannot be justified. You've got to believe that you're justified, right? You got to have faith that you're justified. And what is justification? What is justification? What does being justified even mean? Anybody? Right standing. You have to believe that God looks on you, Isaac, and he is smiling. He's showing some pearly whites, right? If God is in heaven, if he has teeth, which God is a spirit, now so don't just go with me. Now, let me have a little bit of liberty, because God is a spirit, right? He's not in physical form in heaven, so just bear with me. But if he had teeth, he would be smiling. We're justified in his sight, just as if I had never sinned, just if I'm just. I can stand before him. So anyway, so now that we're justified by believing that we are. Because if you don't believe you are, then you're not. Period. So we believe that we are justified by faith. We have what? Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2, by whom we also have access by what? By believing that we have access into this grace which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So it's all by faith. And we're going there. But we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? For me, we just experienced the glory of God. Part of it, not all of it. The glory of God is any realized, manifest presence of Him, right? When He's there, that's the glory of God. Anything made known, realized of who He is in your presence, that's the glory of God. So we hope in that. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. To be able to experience the glory of God, any real manifest presence of Him, we hope in it. We desire it, right? In verse 3, and not only so, but we also glory in tribulations. What? Knowing that tribulation, there's fruit from tribulation. Just as I hope and I glory, I rejoice in the hope of being in His presence so much so that He manifests and it's real and it's tangible. I can also glory in tribulations because I know fruit comes from that place. We don't look for it. We have this gospel that preaches that come to Jesus, everything will be good. We come to Him because our marriages are failing, we're in trouble, and all these things, in which we do, and we should, right? And we come, and we think, well, He's going to make it all better. It's not. There's going to be tribulations, there's going to be death, there's going to be loss, there's going to be persecutions. Rains on the just and the unjust. It's going to happen. So that's why we have, in Christendom, I think, we have these waves of, and I've lived it. I'm doing good. I'm doing bad. I'm in church. I'm out of church. I'm trying to do right, doing all the things that I thought I was supposed to do. It's because when bad things come, I say, what the heck? What did I do wrong? It's always examining me. It's like, well, you low-life scum of the earth, you should know. Things are going to happen. You should have done better. It's all about me doing better is the only reason bad things happen. And that's not the truth. They come, right? But with tribulations, that's why I think sometimes we can have peace through the tribulations. Let your light so shine before men that they would see your good works of how you navigate the tribulations and bring glory to God. Of how you navigate marriage, how you navigate loss, how you navigate singleness, how you navigate marriage, how you navigate family, how you navigate business. Everything that we do, how we navigate that, brings honor to God. We don't live our lives for us anymore. We live unto Him. This life is not lived for me. It's picking up your cross daily and following Him. Right? So, we know that these tribulations. Now, I'm not saying it's sexy and fun. That's a little bit of PG-13, so we're good, okay? I'm not saying tribulations are sexy, because they're not. Right? But I think if I begin to look at them as there's fruit coming from those. If Romans 8:28 is true, all things work for good of those that love the Lord, called according to His purpose, right? And 29, verse 29 really is good too, because it brings about fruit unto something, which means our life now looks like it Him, basically. We're being formed back into the image that we were created into to begin with. That's verse 29. But why are all things going to work for good? If all things work for good anyway, if everything's just peachy, rosy, rainbows, and unicorns, then we wouldn't need that scripture, right? All right. So we need that scripture because everything's not unicorns and rainbows. It's just not the way it is. So it brings about something. So if I can look at the tribulation and not freak out, not anxiety, not stress, and not all the stuff which usually comes with tribulations, but we see it and we know that it's going to work something because I'm going to partner with God and I'm going to let my light shine. I'm going to navigate it, walk through it full of faith, believing that He is doing something and He's going to work patience in me. Verse 4, patience, experience, and experience hope. And then, well, in 5, it talks about the love. How about that? I'm a big love fight. I'm a big love guy. Aren't supposed to. Yeah, there you go. Because the love of God has been shed abroad, Holy Spirit revealing love to us through the whole thing, right? So anyway, so that's my take on faith. Peace. And it's all by faith. You got to believe it. And now I need 3 volunteers. There you go. You're going to be one. You can be one. You've got to be one. We have a joke. Y'all come right up here. Yeah, y'all 3 right here. And we're going to do this. Yeah, you can be in the center. First, our joke, so y'all will know why she's up here. It's a couple of months back. We were dealing with some things, and she come up to me and said, "You are dead to me." So every time I see her now, I said, "You are dead to me," and I'm dead to her. So that's why she's here, because
I really love you.
I love you too, and it was a joke. But anyway, she is here she's dead to me, and you'll see why in just a minute. All right, so theologians out there tend to say there's 2 verdicts that I'm aware of. We're made of 3, body, soul, and spirit. Some will say soul and spirit are the same because the Hebrew word for soul means breath, and they kind of equate, some people do, as soul and spirit are the same. So anyway, doesn't really matter. We're using 3, right? Body, soul, spirit. So in the beginning. So what is he? That's us, right? Right? That's everybody in here. You're made up of this, right? Agree or no? I mean, you smart seagulls over there that are all smart. I mean, is that true or no? I mean, even for us common educated people, me, I've got a general diploma. That's body, soul, spirit. So that's how we're made up, right? From the beginning of time. Genesis 2, God said, all right, so here's some trees, Adam. Some of these you can eat of, some of them you don't eat. If you eat of this one, surely you're going to die. Right? Tree of life. Knowledge of good and evil. If you eat this tree, you're going to die. So what happened? Everybody knows this story. Adam and Eve. Who ate the fruit? And then who ate the fruit? So we ate the fruit, right? So what happened to us? We died. So what part of us died out of these 3? You are dead to me. She died. Right? She died. Now what's remaining? This is how we lived until we came to know Christ. So for some of us, that was a long time. I was trained by my flesh and my soul. And that's how I lived. The Bible says when I'm in this state here, I'm an enemy to him. Paul said it twice. I think it's once in Romans and once in Colossians. I was an enemy because I lived in this, my desires, what I want to do. This is what I was trained by my whole life. This is what I did. I was good at it. So everything, the fruits of the Spirit, we know what those are, right? The fruit of the Spirit. So from the flesh, what are those things? What are some of those things that are listed in Scripture that are produced from this tandem? Anybody? Envy. Sin. Strife. Jealousy. Drunkenness. Lewdness. Any more? That we all lived in, right? Because we died. What we were created to be died when we ate the fruit. Now, every one of you, me, were born into this, which is death. Right? We were born here. But we were born in this death that are being led around by the flesh and all the sinful desires of the carnal mind. No spirit whatsoever. We're dead. And in this state right now, I'm an enemy to God because I cannot please him in this state. You're not pleasing him in this state. Agreed? Agreed. That's all scripture. Hey, that's all scripture. Y'all walk around with me. Hey, y'all can, yeah, y'all walk, just don't look good. Y'all walk around. No, I'm not sick.
What do you mean walk around?
Walk around with me. And he's going to sit down. See, it's the flesh. He can't even follow. That's really good. Can't even follow directions. And he's an Alabama fan, just like me, and can't follow directions. Just walk around because you're living your life here. And boy, and that's why I told you I had all these scriptures. She is asking me for a scripture, and I said, y'all look at that. Is that? There's no notes on this page right here. This is all scripture. And there's probably 20, maybe. All right. So Genesis. Y'all sit down right here with me. Y'all sit down. Because this is where we're at, right? We're dead. Genesis 2:17, if you eat the fruit, you'll die. Romans 5:12, death for all man because Adam sinned, right? So we're all born into death. And I know you're not supposed to do this, but this is a family meeting, right? You're not supposed to just read scripture and all the stuff, but it's family meeting. We were all born into death. Romans 5:10, enemies of God. So y'all go read them. Y'all write all these down. Y'all writing. Romans 5:10, your enemies. Colossians 2:21, enemies of God. 1 Corinthians 15:21, death from Adam, resurrection from Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:22, death from Adam because we were born into death. This is death. Welcome to death. You're dead to me. Made alive in Jesus Christ. Romans 6. Dude, you can read 6, 1 through 13. And what this is at the end of verse 13, it talks about not presenting your members to sin, but you present yourselves to God alive from the dead. Right? So who's going to do the presenting? It's kind of like, connecting. And who presents what? Who's presenting in that passage? If Romans 6:13 says, don't present your bodies as members to sin, but you present yourselves to God alive from the dead. Who's presenting? You are. We are. So you've got to believe that you're alive from the dead. Why do you think, why do you think Jesus says, you're about to. Why does Jesus say to Nicodemus, you must be born again? Y'all can stand up now. They're dead. How can I enter back into the womb? How can I be born again? And he talks about the Spirit. Right? It's the Spirit that's got to be born again. So just guess what? When now I am able to, because of what? Because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus, right? Do you find it odd when Jesus comes in? This is Matthew and in Mark. Jesus comes on the scene, and what is some of the first things that he says? Some of the first thing that Jesus comes out of his mouth that Mark and Matthew talk about. I'm here. Hey, well, let's just read some of them. Let's just do that. Hey, Matthew, let's do Mark. Somebody, well, you don't have to do Mark. We're going to go to Mark 1, y'all. I think it's Mark 1. Jesus bust on the scene. Mark 1. Get this. Mark 1:15. This is red letters in my Bible. Jesus said this. the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is, next page, at hand. The kingdom's at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. You find it interesting? Jesus busts on the scene because he's bringing in a new order, right? Repent. Oh, look at her. It says, repent. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. What is the gospel? He's preaching to believe in the gospel, that the gospel, he hadn't died on the cross yet. Right? So what is, the gospel? Robin talked about the power. Romans 1:16. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And it was, when I was growing up, it was all about the shame part. I'm totally missed out on. For it is, this gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the power. It is the same power that raised Christ up from the dead through Holy Spirit, raised him out from the dead. That same power now raises us up out of the dead, and now we're alive again. Amen? But it's now being led by her. Still the same tree. We have choices today. The tree is still in the garden. We choose. Do we let her lead? Because she's making us a new creation. Brand new creation, never created before. A brand new being. But it's all by faith. We've got to believe we're born again. And now we're going to give in to this. We're not going to let this guy lead us anymore. But guess what? He trained me well. It took a minute. Still takes time, right? I'm not there by any means. But if I don't recognize that all these scriptures that talk about in this whole stinking book, it's death and it's life. It's not saying a prayer to get to go to heaven one day. We will. But what are you going to do now? It's about life and death. I was so dead. I lived the life that most everybody in here lived. And y'all can sit down. You're not dead to me anymore. We're alive in Christ. Right? I'll be quick. I'm going to read some more. Because now we're alive. All right, so Romans 6, 1 through 13 was alive from the dead. We present ourselves alive from the dead. Right? We do that. All by faith, all by faith. Ephesians 2, 1. And you, he made alive. You, he made alive. Colossians 2, 13. You being dead, he made alive. Revelations 5, 9. Redeemed us back to God. Not made a way. Jesus never preached he made a way back for us to get to go to heaven. Jesus never preached that's what he came for. Never. He redeemed us to God. We were saved. This power of salvation is the power to bring us out from among the dead. And now we live in this body unto him, because now we're one with him. We're justified, right? That's what we're redeemed to God. 1 Peter 3:18 says that Jesus brings us to God. Colossians 2:10, and I know this is going to be sad on some of you Valentine's people, you are complete in him. Rhett didn't complete Ariel. Ariel does not complete Rhett. It sounds sexy, and it's really good intentions. You're complete only in him. We're complete in him. You're not lacking anything. He sees me clean. And until we start believing he sees me clean, you'll never live clean. I tried the life. I lived trying to be clean, and boy, I was awful at it. But the moment that you start seeing yourself clean, you live clean. So we can come in and we can talk about our shame and our guilt and all the stuff. And it's kind of like the children of Israel. We can walk around that mountain. How many times are you going to walk around the mountain? You'll never live in victory walking around the mountain talking about how bad we are, what we've done. I'm not saying don't talk about the past. I mean, you know, it's my testimony, but my testimony has got to come under the blood. Not just all the stupidness that I did, but all the things now that he has done through me that I've allowed him to do it, right? So, anyway, yeah, don't go there. Now we're complete in him. Colossians 2:13, he's delivered us from darkness and transferred us into what? Anybody know? Oh, hallelujah, in his kingdom, in the son of his love. I love that love stuff. 2 Corinthians 5:17, everybody knows this, 1 through 20 talks about you're a brand new creation, right? So now it's like we're born again, you're saved, born again, redeemed, transformed, all the things. Put whatever word you want to on it. The reason he did it, and we come up with all, I mean, in some of the songs, there's really good wording and a lot of cliches and a lot of the things, but at the core of why did Jesus come? Do we believe in the gospel? Do we know what the gospel is? That's the question I've been asking myself lately. What is the gospel? What do you think the responses would be if we went through here and we said, what is the gospel? Would everybody have the same answer? The gospel. The core of the gospel. If we went through, even those of us that got a general diploma, if I ask us, what's 2 + 2? In this room, everybody would get the right answer. The exact same answer. So why do we have so varying differences of the gospel, the core of the gospel of what it's there? Now, I'm not talking about elements of it because, I mean, we're all, you know, everybody's got different rhythms and different vibes and, you know, and I'm good with that. Not everybody's going to run the way I run and I'm not going to run the way you run. But the gospel, at the core of what we believe, what is it? Jesus preached it, believing the gospel, and he wasn't dead yet. It's this good news of this kingdom now is here. He was bringing it in. We sang about it today, let heaven come. And I'm all over it. I think that's why we live our life, for me personally. I don't live my life to go to Honduras. It's not the reason I live. I live for him. Paul talks about it all. I mean, Galatians 2:20, right? It's not my life I live. It is Jesus himself living his life through me. And it's a daily yielding to that. We've got to yield to this. Because I can so live here. Right? I mean, we do. I mean, I was just, this is just last week. Let's see, this was Friday. Dude, Valentine's Day. Who would have thought traffic in Carrollton would be stupid insane? It's Valentine's Day, people. That's what I wanted to say. But, you know, boy, I've been listening to worship. I've been doing good all day. Boy, I've had a good day. It's all by myself in my own little world. Work was going well. Had my, I don't know who I was listening to, worship music. Boy, I was good. Singing, it was really a good day. But boy, when I top the hill and I'm trying to get to Home Depot to finish this job up, it's like, what? Where did all these people come from? And why? It's, of course, Friday. Carrollton's, anyway, people that live and work in, or not live, but work in Carrollton, I guess you, it's a little side note, but boy, don't go to Carrollton on Fridays or on Valentine's Day. So anyway, it's like quickly. So here I am driving in my little truck. Got my YouTube on and I'm listening to somebody worship. I don't know who it was. Moai's singing. And the next thing you know, I'm in traffic saying, get out of my way. What are you doing? I've got to hurry. Don't you know I've got plans? I've got to get this job done. So quickly, she was dead to me quickly. Because, you know, I'm thinking, get out. I mean, it's like total aggravation. It's like, it's Valentine's Day. I mean, Hallmark come up with it just to make money. I'm not, every day should be Valentine's Day to the husbands and to the wives. Every day's Valentine's Day, right? I'm not saying don't give, you know, I brought home some flowers and you do those things, but every day's Valentine's Day. You need to learn that quickly. So anyway, so we can, we cannot be led of the Spirit really quickly, but it's still a choice. It's still a choice. I really am. What time is it? Is it really? Holy cow, Batman. All right, so now we're a new creation in Corinthians 5. We're a new creation. We're ambassadors of Christ. We represent him on the earth. So you're not just trying to get through life, right? We're not just survival. We're not trying to get through life. Boy, man, we're a new creation. Doggone it. So anyway, so Ephesians. I will go through this quick. We're growing up into be Christ. That's why you're on the earth, unto something. Develop into the fullness of Christ. Walk just as he walked. Do what he did. The works he does, or he did, will do, right? Everybody get that. So now that's our new life. Colossians, man, new self, image of God. You've got to put it on. Nick nailed it. It's what you do with it. And we're going to do this. He come for a reason, or he came for a reason. My wife and my daughter is correcting my grammar all the way through this thing. I know they probably got a list mile long. You don't say that. You don't say this. And it's all about this grammar. My general diploma is not well. So those of you, go get a degree where you can speak properly. But this is what I do know. This is what I know. I know we can have peace in the middle of turmoil. Amen. Amen. He gave it to me. But in the midst of that, 3 years later, I've got to contend for that. It's not just Poof the Magic Dragon. It was Poof the Magic Dragon when he came into that office and revealed it to me, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I have no idea why he did it. I'm just glad he did. But he did. But we have to contend for that right now. Jesus came, left all of glory, all the riches, angels bowing down, all the glory, to come and to redeem me, to put back in me right order that I was created in the beginning with, that Adam lost through sin. And because of that, we were all born into that, and we were all born into death. Now we have to be born again and understand we are a brand new creation, never created before. And it's all by faith of believing. No, I'm every time I read that scripture, present myself to God alive from the dead. It's like those of you that have girls or sons that do gymnastics, and at the end of all their tumbling and all their tumbling and all their tumbling, and here you go, Isaac, all the tumbling, and at the end they do what? Ta-da. That's what I do for him. That's what I do for him. The only way I believe that we live the life that we were designed to live, fully alive, not dead, not walking around the same mountain, not wandering in the wilderness, not saying, boy, you know, if I only could, all the stress and all the stuff, I'm not saying ignore it because it's real. But I can live in so much peace. I can live in so much joy in the midst of it because I know it's going to work for my good. But I've got to allow it to. John 17 talks about us being so one that I can live in such a place with him that the world will know that God sent Jesus into the earth to restore it, to redeem it. Not because I come to Victory on Sundays, and I will, but the way I demonstrate my life every day shows people to Christ. That's why we're here. You're born again, saved, believed in salvation unto something. It's not just to do life here. It's a life lived for him. It's not my life. It's not your life you're living. It's Jesus himself living his life through you. That's exciting. I can be passed from death to life. This book says in 1 John, the way that people will know that I have passed from death to life is how well I love. Not how well I pray. Not how well I speak. Not how well I cast out demons. Not how well I prophesy. Not how well I can have all faith. All faith. All faith to move mountains. You can even go on a mission trip to Honduras. I can give everything I have away, be burned at the stake. And if I don't love, I'm nothing. Nothing. That's hard. Love takes no record or no account of a wrong done to it. None. So all the people that have talked about you, mistreated you, done you bad, it means nothing to you. Nothing. It can't. If it does, then you're not loving. You don't fall in love. The emotions and all the things that we were born, that Rhett and Brett were born into without her, those emotions, those feelings, and all those things, you need to throw that in the conversation with Nicodemus and Jesus. They need to be born again. So you have no right to hold a record of wrong. None. It's kind of hard, but none. Not if we're going to live, not if people are going to be able to look at us, not because we come to church on Sunday mornings that now you're a Christian, because Christ is... Christians, little Christ-like ones, right? I mean, they're first called Christians at Antioch because they were living a life just like Jesus lived. So if I'm going to live a life just like Jesus lived, I've got to know that I've been born again. I was dead, now I'm alive. Now I can live the life just like he lived. If it was not possible, he wouldn't have said, take up your cross and follow. He wouldn't have invited me into a relationship and a following if it was not able to be done. But I've got to come to the end of this and this without this. Because it's the Spirit that gives life. That's right here is an enemy. Cannot please God. A carnal mind, it will not, cannot. So if living in selfishness and all the things are mind that's trained up as, 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, we're born into it. Born again. For me, it's the love of recognizing how much he loves me. The only way that we can love the world the way Jesus loves, and that's the commandment, right? Love the world with the same love that Jesus loved you. The problem is we are doing that. That's how at times I'm honking my horn saying, get out of the stinking way. Don't you know I've got work to do? That's exemplifying the love that I'm revealing at that moment of how much he loves me. Because you will only reveal to the earth the love that you understand he loves you with, right? If the commandment is to love the world with the same love that he loved us with, we've got to know how much he loves us. But that produces something unto something. That's not just sitting back and having a love fest and saying, man, I am all that in a bag of nuts. He loves me. And he does. I do that because he does. But this is that James gospel. You got to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. I can't just sit back and think, God, man, he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. And we need to do that. But that produces the fruit of that is now me loving him. And in turn, I will love the world with that same love. Amen. So we're born. Everybody stand up. Let's go. Or you don't even have to stand up. If you don't want to stand up, I shouldn't have said that. If you don't want to stand up, don't stand up. I don't care. Know that we are born again. We were dead. We are alive. To the beginning, it's all by faith. You got to believe you're justified. You got to believe you're alive. If you don't believe you're alive, you're still dead. You'll never live a victorious life if you're still wrestling between all of that. Give way to Holy Spirit, the Spirit that lives in you. It's the only way that you will live a victorious life. And in this life now, we get to love, and it's becoming love. You don't fall in, you know, I said that. I don't know that I ever finished it. You don't fall in love. You just don't. We say it, but you don't. This book says you pursue it. It's not a Poof the Magic Dragon, because there's days I don't love well. There's days that it's all about me. But they've got to be, well, for me, I guess that's kind of forceful. Ain't it? My desire is that they would become less and less and less, because we're on this journey to become Jesus in the earth. That's the goal. It's not just to say a prayer and live a good life. Be good, do all the right stuff, and then one day stand before him. That's good. You'll stand before him. I'm not saying that you won't. But his intent was to put him back in you, and you, now you live the life here that represents him well, that he smiles. And that is a life of love. You pursue it. Pursue it. Father, man, we are really grateful that you have chosen us. And we simply say this. Thank you, Father, that we are so alive, that we are becoming to understand just how alive you have made us. By faith we believe, by faith we receive. The life that Jesus lived on the earth now is ours. We receive it. We receive your love, that people, that the world would see us in the life we live. They would proclaim, man, Jesus must be alive, because these jokers really are living this life out. There's something different. There's something different about these believers. Father, to you be glory, be honor, be power, might, and dominion today, tomorrow, and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, come back next week. Sid will, well, I don't know if Sid will be here next week or not. But anyway, I won't be doing this. So you'll hear somebody else new that could maybe explain something a little bit better. Hey, have a great day. Enjoy your day. It's a beautiful day, right? Alabama got beat last night in basketball by Auburn. Those of us that are Alabama fans, we're becoming the Kentucky of the SEC. We're going to forget football, and we're going to become a basketball school. So just so you know. No, I'm just joking. Anyway, have a great day. War Eagle, y'all wore them out. And Georgia, bless your heart. You're going to stick to football, because basketball, not really good right now. Somebody take the mic. Krista said you are dead to me. Somebody take the mic.